911. They got you mixed up here. I called you and you were gone. I talked to Teddy and Jackie.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted you to know that I wanted you very much to go over there with them and the plane that'll be fixed up and ready whenever you all decide you want it.
I just wrote you a note today about it because they had spoken to me.
Well, I didn't know it.
I expressed my appreciation. It just went out this morning, but I expressed my appreciation for your thoughtfulness.
Well, I hope you can do it, and I'd gotten your note. Another thing on your hospital thing, I've been reading these hearings, and I'm afraid we got bit off more than we can chew or ought to chew. I've read two or three of them. It looked like you're very questionable.
I would say that at least I know about two in New York. They were just completely misinformed about the facts. I mean, it might be a good reason to close them, but they certainly didn't have the facts about it. You know, it was just a disgraceful.
Tell you what I thought I'd do. Now, I may be wrong, but I'd like to have your judgment. I'm thinking about it over the weekend. I don't want you to discuss it with anyone. I thought I might ask the Finance Committee to put somebody on from the Senate, and they, since they have to handle a lot of veteran stuff, and I'd put Teague, their counterpart, on the House. He's for opening several of them. He thinks that we made some mistakes, and put the Veterans Administration, the Veterans Organization, get them to select a man. Then probably get two outstanding doctors, maybe Paul Dudley White or head of California Medical School or something like that. Just put them in a Jetstar and let them go look at all of them and tell them that these five or six that I don't think there's the slightest doubt about, but the five or six that they are, Colorado and New York and perhaps Montana and maybe Nebraska and one other one that they think the ones that look like to me that they might be mixed up on. I might even ask a Gleason to come back and go with a committee of about five and leave Driver off of it and leave any other government person off of it. But just try to get five people that are not committed and not obligated to anyone and let them tell me what they look like and keep them open until they do.
I think it'd be a very good idea.
If you got any outstanding doctors you think of, I thought I'd go to California or Mayo's or maybe Dudley White or something like that. What do you think about Gleason?
Well, I think he's a fine fellow.
I never did know him, but they all tell me that the veterans have judgment and...
On two of them, or all three of them in New York, the Veterans Administration, based on our hearing, admitted that there might be a mistake on facts, so that they agreed to appoint a committee, outside consultant, to go and look at them. And they've been doing that, in the three in New York, over the period of the last two or three weeks, and then they were going to make a report back as to what they had found. I think some care might be taken as to... the background. It might be a doctor who might know one kind of practice, but it might be a particular kind of doctor that you would want to have that would be able to tell whether the structure of the hospital is what it should be and the patient intake is what it should be. And, you know, there were so many different factors that were included other than whether the hospital was a good hospital or not.
Might be, it ought to have probably an administrator of some good hospital rather than just necessarily a doctor.
Right. I think, and also that they'd have to study what the basis of the closing, why the Veterans Administration felt that they were justified in closing, and then so that they could focus attention on those facts rather than just generally on whether it's a good or a bad hospital, because I think that's almost impossible to find in a few short days.
Do you know anything about Driver?
I heard that he was good. He made, I'll say this, he didn't know what he was talking about before our committee, but he made a good appearance because he looked honest and he looked like he was making an effort. The people, quite frankly, they had nine people testified before the committee. And they were all supposed to be experts, and it was just a disgrace because each one expected somebody else to know. You know, it's one of those things where you... And it gave such a bad appearance, as you know better than anybody, if when the executive branch comes up and they don't know what they're talking about. Well, he should have, in my judgment, should have made sure that his people had the answers, and they gave reasons for closing the hospitals, and I say that they couldn't verify them, and they were misinformed. They'd say, well, they couldn't get this particular kind of a doctor, and you'd show from the record that the doctor was there, and then they'd say, well, it hadn't been renovated in 15 years, and then we'd show that it was renovated in 1962, and, you know, all these very basic and plain facts. The result was that it was a disastrous day for the Veterans Administration, which, of course, he has to share his responsibility. As an individual, however, he made the best impression of the nine, just because he looked honest and looked like he wanted to make an effort. But
I never heard of him, but Gleason, when he left, recommended him and said that he was an exceptional fella. The Veterans Committees did the same thing. Then American Legion, all the organizations did it. And they told me he was a career man and rather talented, and everybody respected him, and Gleason thought that he was the best man available in the country. So I appointed him. I've read the hearings. I didn't read them in the Senate, but I've read them in the House, and they certainly, well, they gave five reasons for closing one hospital, and the Congress, the members, rebutted it. And to establish reasonably well my satisfaction, just reading it, that Veterans was off on four and partially off on the fifth one.
Yeah.
So that doesn't look very good to me, and I don't know whether he's just incompetent or whether he was misled by underlings.
Well, what I understood is that, the way he talked was that he sort of inherited, I gathered, and I didn't go into it in detail with him, but that he inherited this decision and that he was going to stand up on it. Now, I didn't understand that he had made it, because I understood it had been made by others and that he was just following through on it.
No, he what it did to me, now here's the history of it, and I'll take but a moment on it. I understand that Eisenhower's director recommended that some of these be closed. I'm not sure they're the same ones, but I think the same one. That no action was taken, that then Gleason came along and recommended that they be closed, and it came over to our desk, and I sent it back to Gleason and said, you better take this up with the budget people and see what they said. Then they came back, and they said they concurred in it. Then came back to me, and I said, well, you better send it over to the man that's going to succeed you. He said, well, he wanted to make the decision. I said, no, this poor devil will have to answer it. So you better see that he concurs. So he took it for a month. I kept it here for 6 months. And he came in and he concurred. And I said, you all know that you're really going to blow things up on the hill just before we have our bill to go up. And they said, no, they didn't think so, that they would go and explain it to all of them. And I said, we better hold up a decision until you do go explain it. So they said, all right, and then I thought, well, Ramsey Clark handled this, so I called him in and said, take all these papers, and you go off a couple of days and study it and write me a memorandum on what ought to be done. And he came back and said that they'd made a case, and he recommended, and I said, well, I'm damned if y'all are not going to defeat me for office. So I called the vice president in and asked him if he would take it, and if he'd study it, and if he'd write me a memorandum on what ought to be done. He did it. He said it ought to be done. I said, all right, go ahead and do it, Mr. Driver. So Driver did it.
But you know the only fallacy was? Is that the facts that they gave, each and every one, you know, Ramsey Clark, there's nobody better. But the facts that they gave them, I would have reached the same conclusion based on the facts, but the facts weren't right.
Uh-huh.
And so when you're dealing with people who don't present you with the right facts, that's an outrage. I would have reached the same conclusion if I just debased it, but you know, when we made an investigation of it, we found out all their facts were wrong. It's just that was a disgrace, Mr. President.
Huh. Well, I think I've asked him now to go to all of them himself. Don't take anybody's word. And you get in the plane and you go to. So I went to about half of them last week, and he's going to the rest of them this weekend. I think maybe when he gets back, I may just set up a new group and keep them going until at least keep the ones that are in doubt that they've had a case made on them.
It's really pitiful for some of these people. You know, I've been around to the ones in New York, and it just means almost they're all alone now, these fellows, and it's just going to destroy their lives trying to move, you know, for instance, this domiciliary that serves 10 states, these people are going to have to go out to Ohio and to West Virginia, and it's just going to be damn tough on their lives because they, you know, they've got their roots there. They're all First World War, and they've been there for 10 or 15 years, and, you know, it's just damn tough. And the one upstate New York is just a very, very, very nice hospital. That's the substance of it. It's all been renovated. That's what makes it so outrageous.
I better hang up from you. You sound like they're better than the new ones we're building. Goodbye, Bobby.